So it's nice to begin practice with just bringing your attention to your heart. Just taking a few moments to breathe in to your heart. It's good to, it's sort of the having the right attitude, kind of bringing you down out of your head into your heart. And just recognizing this capacity to really put the mind in this heart body. Just giving it a moment of acknowledgement. And ultimately, this is where this all leads, is this mind in heart. And then I can find it helpful to actually bring your attention to the contact between the chair, the bench, the pillow, and the earth. And just acknowledging first that contact, when the mind recognizes body and earth, that earth itself, it is not judging us in any way. And so there's a sense of that contact, having a sense of safety, a sense of relaxation that is inherent in the kind of that experience of gravity between the body and the earth. And that the earth holds us without judgment, no matter what has been done or said or and so there's a sense of safety or comfort in that contact. And then if you find it helpful to take a few deep breaths, and see if you can't bring the breath all the way down, right above the groin, actually, right in the lower belly. And expand it out, that lower belly. And it's really this training of bringing the mind down, just like the contact between earth and body, the acknowledgement of the kind of breath body. And just expand it and hold it for a few moments and let it out and do that a few times, which is really the idea is not like a pranayama. It's just to bring that attends to things into this contact between mind and body and breath. Now with the mind kind of grounded in the body, just take a moment to explore your posture. You know, right from the, in the sense, I always find it really helpful, even if you're sitting in a chair, whatever, to see if you can't tilt the pelvic just slightly forward, so there's a bit of curve in the lumbar area. And then just to let the vertebrae stack. It's also pulling the shoulders back slightly, the chin back slightly. And then I always think it's helpful not to go too quickly to the breath. Just let yourself settle in. And let the breathing come to you as the mind settles. So not to rush anywhere, but just to kind of sit in the center of yourself. And then just allow. This breathing to be noticed. And then just to note where it seems that maybe you've trained yourself with the breath someplace. As kind of your root or home base, or that place that you return. And then the art is not to hold it too tightly. As Gil said, just not to give yourself a headache. You know? So there's, in a way, it's more about kind of resting in ease, and then feeling an area as life breathes you. And then as you attend to that breathing, whether it's in the nostrils or sinuses or throat or chest or belly or whole breath, you stay for a while and then you wander off. And you remember and you come back. You wander off again. Come back. So just expand this morning a little. It's just when the body becomes, it pushes itself into the foreground, pushing the breath out of the way. We can attend to that. Attend to that is simply noting it's really the play of the elements of earth, air, water, and fire. Know them as simply qualities without the I or the me or the mine in it. That there is the sense of heaviness or lightness, the earth element, or vibration or tingling, the air element, or a sense of cohesion or fluidity in the water element, and noting hot or warm or cool or cold as the fire element. And so we can acknowledge that when the body usually speaks sometimes loudly and pushes the breath out of the way, then we can, in a sense, know the qualities of that experience without needing to make up a story about it or identifying with it so much. And the encouragement is to kind of stay with it a little while. And again, if it goes into a place where you're struggling too much, you're not really doing practice, you're just struggling, then mindfully you can simply shift or move some to relieve that, so you come back to staying here. And just ultimately, there is no right or wrong practice. There is just practice. Sometimes we get lost or caught up in thoughts or struggling with sensation, or caught up in fantasy or the planning mind somehow. And the practice is, in some ways, is just simply to know what's happening, to acknowledge it. And then if it seems appropriate, just to simply let go and return. Return to the body breathing itself in an area that we kind of hold as our kind of home base. Wandering off. The practice is really to bow to it and bring your attention back. This practice of being awake and aware and letting go and starting over again. So, I always like to kind of look at the whole practice as a whole. First of all, just my statement, you know, there is no wrong practice. You know, it's really this practice of trying to stay awake to what it is that's happening without kind of criticism, judgment, or embellishment. Or kind of mental proliferation, making more and more out of things, keeping it as simple as possible. Because in many ways, this is just in a sense, a kind of deconstruction process of all the stuff we've kind of held on to or made up or keep embellishing in some means. And the simplicity of this is really that the practice itself, just a kind of a overall description, is that we attend to the breathing itself. Very simple thing, you know. And wherever I find it very helpful to have one place I go back to, you know. And sometimes I'll just feel the whole body breathing. But specifically in a way just to sort of create a kind of center point for the attention itself. But as you well know, attending to that doesn't mean that you'll stay there. It simply means in the flux or the impermanence or the true transition of the river of life, as it moves, happens right here. And in that river, different things appear and disappear. One of them is the breath that we're attempting to attend to. But then, as I mentioned this morning, there's body sensations that sometimes are compelling it. Even if we wanted to stay on the breath, it becomes, in a sense, more powerful or stronger. And so the attention then goes to that, you know. And when it goes to that, which, that first of all, just the from the practice's point of view is, you know, stay for a little while. It's something that's encouraged. I don't know other places or systems encourage you to some kind to stay with discomfort for a while, you know. But it's also a way that the kind of the mind in some ways begins to soften to that relationship in not such a way that's so heavily identified with it, but sees it in its nature, you know. And its nature is simply, I use that kind of description as the elements and play, and but it's the qualities of those elements, you know. So you go to a place, your knee hurts, and you attend to it as you did attending to the breath. And there is a way of going to it and first recognize the contraction, which a lot of times creates sometimes more identity, you know, like, you know, it's going to break or fall off, or I have to have surgery, or you know, some identification happens there. And what this is saying is, oh no, I'm just going to keep it very simple, you know. I'm going to go, and in essence, I can know what it is that's happening without embellishing or adding the kind of I, me, mine to it. That there is just this is really a dance of different sensations. You know, that in this case, if it's discomfort, it's, you know, unpleasant. And that we begin to, in a sense, stay for a while and recognize that it's also part of that river, that flow of things. It will arise. It'll be there for a while. And sometimes it happens that you actually stay with the unpleasantness and you haven't moved away from it. And actually by attending to it, it has this miraculous thing of changing, and it's suddenly no longer unpleasant, you know. And even any moment of discomfort like that, if you look closely, it's a dance, but there are more unpleasant moments, but there's also pleasant moments in it, even in something that's quite has quite a bit of discomfort in it. And so our practice is really this ability to attend to something, not get lost in it, and see its nature, that it too changes. If I hold on too tight, I will suffer or suffer more. And it is a process, impersonal process, that's in some ways we can look at, you know. In the same way, again, this kind of, I like the description, I actually heard Gil say it years ago about foreground and background, that also when we're attending to something like that, a lot of times there is a kind of emotion and stories that come up with it. And that we can actually know where we feel that, which may not be the place that's uncomfortable, but it may be in the stomach or shoulders or in the jaw or somewhere in the body that is about a feeling, you know. Oh, actually, that kind of brings up that I'm kind of sad. You know, and that is not a story. It's just simply a feeling that's moving through us, and being able to attend to it, to know it for what it is. You know, so much of life is actually reacting a lot of times our world unconsciously through feelings. You know, and so we actually begin to recognize them on some level, and be able to know them and name them. And in a sense, again, just like with sensations, not to be so identified with them, you know. And then the kind of the last piece of that foreground and background is it really has to do which with all this thinking that goes on, and our you know, so much of it is You know, I think it's natural. There's a lot of habit in it, you know. And also the problem is we identify with who we think we are through those thoughts, you know. And so it can become something that can be seen as just a flow, you know. And sometimes it's kind of fun that I actually, the thoughts are thinking themselves, and I can actually, it's almost like listening to music, and you kind of get the flavor of what's moving through without embellishing or trying to manipulate or construct or figure out or plan or do anything at all with it at all. Just simply they're moving through, because they're no different in kind of Buddhist psychology. They're not different than sensations. You know, they simply, due to causes and conditions, they arise, they kind of go through. A thing that's kind of fun here is sometimes when you get sort of in a more hypnagogic state, thoughts come in that are not, you know, they're not you. They're just kind of from the collective unconscious, kind of moving through, and you don't attach to them. You go, oh, that's interesting. That is very fascinating, you know? Not too fascinated, just, you know, just knowing that that's it. But as soon as something comes along that you identify with, right there, then there is actually some kind of grasping or clutching that grabs you, and you are identifying with it. And that's a place where you can apply this, oh, I know what you are, you know. And at that moment, in the sense of you know, letting it be, without having to add more to it. And again, just all simply stuff flowing like a river through this marvelous experience of being alive. So that's, I wanted to just kind of give in a nutshell, kind of overview. And again, you know, the practice in some ways is just, you know, don't get caught. That's it, just don't get caught, because something else just appeared. And again, don't get caught, something else will appear. And quite miraculously, it's quite, quite marvelous in that way. So if you have any questions